You're listening to episode 10 of Presence and Purpose, a podcast all about helping you build an authentic online presence and live out your God-given purpose. I'm really excited to share this episode with you, ladies. I am talking with Amelia. Amelia is a brand coach and copywriter for introverted entrepreneurs, helping the quiet be heard through bold brand messaging, design, and website copy. We dive deep into brand archetypes and we talk all about what that is and why it matters. So here it is. Hey guys. So today I am going to be geeking out with my friend Amelia all about brand archetypes. We're going to be talking about what that is and why it's important and how it is really impactful for your brand and your business. So Amelia and I go way back to like when we were little baby entrepreneurs. We were in a group coaching program together, which is crazy that it was 2 years ago already. So thank you for being here and welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to chat with you.
Yes, we've already been talking like for 20 minutes and geeking out about this stuff before we even hit record. So it's going to be fun, guys. This is going to be a great conversation. So I would love if you could start out by sharing a fun fact that most people don't know about you.
Oh, a fun fact. Well, I like to tell people, so I am a introvert. I am very like quiet, was really shy as a kid. So people don't really expect me to be super adventurous, but probably the boldest thing I've ever done was I got into a cage underwater off the coast of South Africa and came face to face with a great white shark. I went great white shark cage diving off the coast of South Africa.
Oh my goodness. My daughter would just like be super impressed with that. We watched a shark documentary recently where they were doing that like with their kids and she was just like so into it. That's awesome. Amazing. Yeah, that is so cool. And I can totally see you doing that too because I know you. Awesome. Well, how about you take us on a little bit of your entrepreneur journey and tell us like for those that don't know you, kind of what brought you here to this point?
Yeah, well, I am a architect turned brand strategist and copywriter. So I actually was the super good girl, was the top of my class. I went to school for architecture, was working as an architect in Atlanta for 4 years, and was just so miserable with the 9-to-5 life. Like I was just getting miserable and miserable by the day. And so I began searching like, what can I do to work from home? Like, what can I do to get out of this like groundhog day repeating 9-to-5 week that I just like, it's just so monotonous. Like it was not fulfilling me and making me happy at all. And so I discovered marketing online, and then I discovered this whole entire world of online entrepreneurship that I didn't even know existed or was possible. And I quickly became obsessed with psychology and branding and copywriting, which is all about like understanding the psychology of you and the psychology of what your ideal client wants and needs. And then helping people like put that into words, helping them express themselves through their brands and through their copy on their website. And that is how I made the super bold leap to leave behind my career in architecture for the freedom of an online business.
Yeah. And you totally leaped. Like I remember now that I'm thinking back to like when we were in that program together, I remember seeing you like introduce yourself. And then all of a sudden when you like, were like, this is my brand. You were just like boom. Like,
yeah.
You just like jumped in with like the red and the lion. And I was like, okay, I did not see that coming, but I love it. Like,
I know. What is this quiet introvert doing with all these bold colors?
Yeah. Well, and it's just been so cool to see, again, like where you started when I first like met you online and how it's just kind of unfolded and where you really did just like dive headfirst into copywriting and like bringing in your love of psychology and all the things. I think it's just so fascinating to see like these things that we're naturally interested in and we don't even know exist. And once we dive into them, it's like, yeah. Oh, I'm really good at this. Like, I didn't even know this was a thing, but
yeah,
like,
yeah, seriously. Like I was in school for architecture, but like my fourth year, you know, wrapping up my electives, one of my social science requirements was taking psych 1101. And I was obsessed like from then on. Like that is when I discovered, you know, introversion versus extroversion. I'm actually a brand coach and copywriter for introverted entrepreneurs. So introverts, find me. but yeah, so I like became so interested in psychology from that point on. But I mean, at that point I was, you know, fourth year in my architecture degree, I was going to be an architect, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But yeah, so I became an architect because I had an eye for design and was really good at math, but you don't know at 16 or 18 what type of life that you want. And so like I kind of discovered that the life of an architect was not what I wanted. Like I didn't want my boss's life. I did not want that. Mm-hmm. I didn't want the like cookie cutter suburban house and the white picket fence and to just stay in one spot for my whole life. Like what I really desire is to like move around, to have the freedom to be mobile, to live in different places across the world. And the life of a writer gives you that, and the life of an architect does not. So mm-hmm. It's more about chasing like the life that you want versus, I don't know, filling out the career quiz. It's like, oh, you're good at math, you should try this, you know?
Yeah. Well, and how cool would that be if that's how we approached it? And we,
I know,
you know, approached high schoolers with this attitude of like, what kind of life do you want? Like, just because this is the life that you've grown up in does not mean,
yeah,
you know, you have to continue on this path. And like, it also helps people realize that like, just because they get a degree in one thing or they start, you know, chasing after a certain career, like they don't have to do that just because they've been doing it. And so they just got to keep doing it. Like, I feel like
you can pivot. Yeah.
Give
people permission to change. Cause like, I feel like there's this exorbitant amount of pressure on you, like to choose your career and like basically map out your life at age 18. Like, okay, you're going to go to college for this and you're going to get a job doing this. And it's going to take you this amount of years to, you know, climb the ladder. And then eventually you might become partner or something. And, you know, then at 65, 70, you'll retire and get to travel the world. But
then you get to enjoy your life.
Right. Then you get to enjoy your life. And discovering entrepreneurship and like online entrepreneurship just completely blows that idea out of the water. Like there's so much more available to us now, thanks to technology and the internet. Thank you.
Yes. I know. Well, and it's like, that's meant to equip you for real life, but real life is adapting and pivoting. Yeah. Like, you have no way of knowing like where you're actually going to be and where life's going to bring you. And there's so much that's out of our control where, yeah.
Yeah. And you don't know yourself when you're that young either. So like putting all the pressure of, you know, you have to design your life right now at age 18. It's like, I don't even know who I am. I don't know what I want.
Exactly. Right. So speaking of knowing yourself, let's dive into archetypes.
Yes. So I'm here to talk about brand archetypes, and I kind of like to think of them as brand personality types. But these are the ultimate psychological cheat sheet to defining who you are as a brand and knowing what to say to speak straight to the hearts and minds of your ideal clients. So there are 12 archetypes that represent 12 core human desires. Like, for example, our desire to be nurtured, to be loved, to prove ourselves, to belong to a community. So these archetypes, a little history on them. I didn't discover them, would love to take credit for it, but cannot. One of our founding fathers of psychology, Carl Jung, he analyzed art and literature and legends from all over the world from many different periods of history. And he discovered that there were 12 recurring themes, these 12 recurring characters that kept popping up over and over and over again and all of these stories across all these different cultures. And so he discovered that there are 12 archetypes that represent 12 innate psychological desires that all humans have. Isn't that crazy?
Ooh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah. So, you know, because these are like 12 innate psychological desires that all humans have, that means that you will relate to all of them in some way. Like these, it might change depending on where you are in your life too, but at some point you will kind of experience a little piece of each of these. But the magic of this is now that we have like these desires defined for us, we can now choose a focus to focus our messaging on, to focus our branding on. That way we know how to tap into those emotions that we feel, the emotions of our ideal clients. So why are these important? It's like, have you ever been asked in an ideal client exercise, what is your ideal client desire? Like, what are they thinking? And you're like, I don't know. Like, they want more money. They want to leave their 9-to-5. Like, hey, yes. But it goes so much more deeper than that. So like, as a brand strategist, I think we do this without thinking about it, but I have kind of discovered that as brand strategists, we create two psychological profiles, one for you, the person, the face of the brand, and then one for your ideal client. So we're trying to understand who you are, what drives you, like what's your why, what makes you unique. And then we're also trying to understand what our ideal client is thinking and feeling, what they want, what they connect to, what they respond to. And so these archetypes just help to lead you down a path of self-discovery and deep understanding of yourself and what others want. And I am so excited to nerd out with you on them.
That's something that I use with my own clients when I'm like building their brand. It's actually become a primary thing that I base their brands off of. So I'm excited to learn more.
Yeah, absolutely. This is like the starting point for branding yourself and the starting point that I use with my clients too. Like these archetypes really help inform every decision about your brand, the words that you use, the stories that you tell, what you wear in your brand photos, what your brand colors and design is. Like it's a starting point and a guide to help create a like clear, strong brand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love that you said earlier, you said that it's like a cheat sheet, I think is what you said.
Yep.
Because it so is, like, especially when you're using it in terms of like you and me, like getting to know your clients. It's like this quick way to like really get to know them. Well, how about you said there's 12 different archetypes. I would love if you could kind of like do a brief overview of the different archetypes.
Yeah, so I'm going to break down the 12 archetypes. Before that, I want to give you a little bit of context to get you thinking before we go into it. So whenever I'm working with a client, I encourage you to choose a primary and a secondary archetype for your brand. So choose two that describe you, that describe like what message you're wanting to put out into the world, and maybe one that you really resonate with. I think the primary archetype, I almost see as like an aspirational identity or like your alter ego, how you want to inspire or motivate others. And then the secondary I see as being like, who are you at your core, that kind of responds to some of your like innate personality traits. So I'm going to break down the 12 types and I'm going to go over what innate human desire each type speaks to, the goal of a brand who embodies that type, so like basically what their stories and messaging should be based around, keywords that describe that type, which are words that you can incorporate into your brand names and your copy, real life brand examples of each type, and then, this is fun, which archetype you're most likely to innately identify with based on your Enneagram type. Whoop, whoop. So for the Enneagram, like, I'm not trying to lock you into a box or lock you into a type. This is just a tool to help you figure out which ones might be best for you. So there are 9 archetypes that are pretty straightforward matches to the 9 Enneagram types. And then there are 3 archetypes that are kind of a toss-up, like they could apply to any type. So let's get started. Archetype number 1 is the innocent. So the innocent archetype taps into our desire to be happy, to experience joy, to kind of be in a utopian environment. So it's all about like simplicity and happiness and joy. So if you are the innocent, then your goal as a brand is to be positive, to be encouraging, to be the cheerleader, and to kind of bolster what is pure and clean and just. So the keywords for this type are purity, joy, encouragement, optimism, natural, simple, cheerful. This brand, like, really, like I said, taps into simplicity and joy. And you see a lot of like boho, clean living, kind of like natural brands. They use like only natural ingredients. So like an example would be True Botanicals. It's a skincare brand that uses only pure natural ingredients. So that is a big brand example. But there are also a lot of wedding photographers and just kind of photographers in general that fit into this type, because I don't know, it's just speaking to that like inner desire to be happy, and that's kind of what the photos do for you, like as a photographer. But anyways, an entrepreneur example, like real life entrepreneur example, will be Evie Rupp. She is a wedding photographer on the West Coast, and just her as a person, like if you watch her stories and look at her Instagram account, she just expresses and just exudes so much joy. Like she always has this giant smile on her face. She's a Christian entrepreneur as well. I think a lot of Christians kind of fit into this archetype as well, because there's this kind of sense of like what's pure and holy and, you know, right versus wrong, if that makes sense. So those are some examples. And then because of that sense of like right versus wrong and kind of like that pure simplicity, the Enneagram 1 is a good match to the innocent.
As you were saying that, I was trying to guess, and I'm totally going to be doing that when you go through the others too. I'm like, which Enneagram type is that? Yeah, when I think of the innocent archetype, I feel like it's like the cliche, like, health and wellness entrepreneur too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where they're like, I'm drinking my green juice and I have so much energy and like I'm eating clean and
exactly.
Okay,
next up we have the explorer. So the explorer archetype taps into our desire to experience freedom, to discover new things and to explore the world. So your goal as a brand, as an explorer, is to help people experience a more authentic, fulfilling life and to aid in the discovery of someone's inner or outer world, or to help them escape. So you see like a lot of entrepreneurs talking about how they want freedom to travel. And I feel like this is one that we see very frequently. and like some stereotypical examples would be like, you know, travel bloggers or anything that like aids your journey. So like the North Face, for example. Mm-hmm. But the keywords for the Explorer is like adventurous, independent, wild, free, pioneering, seeking. So anything that kind of like equips you for the journey. Example, the North Face and other brands like that, Patagonia, for big brand examples. Entrepreneur examples is Lindsay Roman. She is a destination wedding photographer, kind of elopement photographer. So all of her photos are very like, you know, running through the wind on the beach or, you know, running through a field in the mountains. That's like very kind of stereotypical of the Explorer. And actually, our coach from the program that we went through, Natalie, the coach being Michelle Knight, her brand is like classic Explorer. She has like mountain symbolism. She's a business coach, but she has like mountain symbolism and graphics on her website and on her Instagram page. And she is kind of about that like van life or camper life where they are driving around with their family exploring the US. So that is a big example for the Explorer.
Yeah, I was gonna say that if you didn't, I'm like, that is totally Michelle.
Yeah, yes. That completely embodies her. Yeah. So this is one of the ones that I don't think there's like a straightforward match to the Enneagram, but I do think that it's probably more likely from the head triad. So I would guess like Enneagram fives, like because of that sense of independence and curiosity, fives are very independent, curious, investigative. So I would say that, but I could also see, you know, sevens or sixes. Sevens are very curious and adventurous and all of that. All right, next up we have the Sage. So the Sage is actually my secondary archetype. And this archetype taps into our innate desire to gain knowledge, to learn, to discover truths. So the goal of this archetype as a brand is to use intelligence and analysis to understand ourselves and the world and to educate others on what you've learned. So this archetype is like you're the educator, the teacher, the expert. You have a wealth of knowledge that you are giving out to the masses. The keywords for this archetype are like wise, trustworthy, candid, intelligent, investigative, inquisitive, perceptive, smart. Big brand examples, Google. Hello. The search database. And Harvard, very obvious. You kind of see these two institutions as like, that's where you go to gain knowledge, you know?
Yeah.
Entrepreneur examples. This is one of my favorites just because this entrepreneur is also an architect who went into the marketing field. Pat Flynn from Smart Passive Income. Mm-hmm. The headline on his website is learn and master the skills you need. And then he has a segue further down that says, what do you want to learn today? So it's like just quintessential Sage. Like that is so the Sage. And another example I think is Amy Porterfield. Like she is the digital course queen. Like think of all the knowledge that she dishes out on her podcast, Online Marketing Made Easy. So any entrepreneur where you just see them as super knowledgeable, very educated on a subject, a person that you come to for advice on this particular field, that is the Sage archetype. And this, the perfect matchup for the Enneagram type to this archetype is the Enneagram 5, which is me. I'm an Enneagram 5.
Well, and like, I'm totally coming to you right now with your Sage wisdom for brand archetypes. So perfect example.
Yes. All right. Next up, we have the Hero. So the Hero, this is the most popular that you could probably think of. You know, everybody's heard of the Hero's Journey. Mm-hmm. But this taps into our desire to prove ourselves, to overcome challenges and achieve something, to win, to be winners. Your goal as a brand, that's the hero archetype, is to encourage others to be courageous, to take action, and to achieve what you want through hard work and discipline. So keywords for this type would be strong, determined, courageous, motivating, championing, empowering. Big brand example is going to be super obvious, Nike. Just do it. And then entrepreneur examples. I think both of these entrepreneurs have such a just do it attitude, and that is Rachel Hollis and Gary Vee. So these are like the hustle icons. Their messages preach like doing, like do, just take action, and that you can achieve anything if you work hard enough. So that those two are just perfect examples of the hero archetype and how to use like messaging as the hero. And so this one I feel like seems pretty obvious as far as the Enneagram matchup too, like an Enneagram 3, the achiever, matches so well with the hero. So you might find yourself innately identifying with the hero archetype if you are an Enneagram 3.
Yes. And you know, I'm really curious to hear from like the ladies listening if they find that they match up, because like before this conversation I never realized that this was a thing that you could like link up your Enneagram type with brand archetypes. So
well, that honestly is something that I kind of figured out from my own deep research. I just kind of noticed that like, oh, I'm kind of reading these archetypes and it is matching up with the language of the description of this particular Enneagram type. So and that's like, that's honestly how I figured out that I was the Sage archetype too, was because I am the Enneagram 5. My type description like literally says unquenchable thirst for knowledge, and I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. That's me. I can get into that later about like how I discovered which ones were mine. But yeah, let's keep going. Okay. Next archetype is the rebel. So the rebel archetype taps into our desire to break the rules, to find freedom from the establishment. I'm talking to you, 9 to 5. And your goal as a rebel brand is to be disruptive, to overturn what isn't working, to start a revolution and say what other people aren't willing to say. So this is actually my primary archetype, you know, the bold introvert, which is kind of an oxymoron, but that's why I love it. The rebel is sometimes known as the outcast or the misfit. So I feel like this type is a voice for those who have felt wronged by society. Like that's one part of what the rebel could be. And so like for me personally, like a great example of those who have felt wronged by society are introverts. Society has made us feel like there's something wrong with us, that we have to act like extroverts in order to be successful or liked. And so I feel like this is like me stepping up for the introverts and saying like, no, like we have our own set of strengths and we can dominate entrepreneurship if we're allowed to be self-aware enough to like understand who we are, instead of just saying like, no, you have to act this way. So that's my spin on the rebel, is speaking to those introverts who feel wronged by society. The keywords for this type is bold, disruptive, revolutionary, raw, rebellious, cutting edge. Big brand example is Harley Davidson. Very iconic. And an entrepreneur example is Jamie King, the Slay Coach. So probably like the stereotypical, what you think of when you think of the rebel archetype is like, you know, people cursing, or the Slay Coach has a middle finger as her logo.
Yeah.
And but I love it. Like, I don't love it because it's curse words or anything. I just love the idea behind it. Like, she's rebelling. She has purple hair, like bright purple hair. She's just going her own way and saying, like, screw you to all the rules that kept her boxed in and made her feel a certain way. And then another example is Ash Amberjay, which I actually somewhat recently found, but she has a blog and a book called The Middle Finger Project. So two examples, both having middle fingers.
Doesn't always
involve the middle finger. My brand does not have any middle finger imagery. but yeah, so like that's an example.
Yeah.
And I feel like Enneagram sixes kind of match up to the rebel because they are naturally kind of distrusting of authority and kind of make their own rules. Like they go their own way. And so that I think is the best matchup for the rebel. The next one is the magician. So the magician taps into our innate desire to believe in a higher power, to understand the laws of nature, to believe in miracles. And your goal as a magician brand is to make dreams come true, to transform other people's lives, to make the impossible possible. So keywords for this brand is intuitive, spiritual, inventive, visionary, charismatic, supernatural. Big brand example is Disney. Like, they are literally making dreams come true. That's their slogan.
Yeah.
And entrepreneur examples. So these are like the big boys. So this type can kind of be seen as like that charismatic leader. Mm-hmm. The one who's like all about changing your life completely. And I think Marie Forleo and Tony Robbins are such perfect examples of the magician.
Mm-hmm.
So like this type really is all about like intuition and believing that you're being guided by a higher power. So that could go for Christians. It's definitely used in the woo-woo side, like Gabby Bernstein, the universe has your back.
Mm-hmm.
You could say, like, a Christian example would be, you could say that Bethel fits this type.
Yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is another type that I don't think any one particular Enneagram type fits in, but I think if a type were to match it, it would be from the gut triad, which is like 8, 9, 1s.
Yeah.
So, because it's just, you know, tapping into that intuitive gut thinking.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next up is the regular guy or the regular girl. This type taps into our desire to belong to a community, to connect us with others, and to be accepted into a group. So I think this is your type,
Natalie. This is totally my type.
And your goal as a brand is to foster community and friendships, to help people feel understood, to make all people feel equal. Keywords for this type are like warm, down to earth, friendly, humble, honest, understanding, accepting, inviting. Like, this type just, I think of this type as like, you know, like a good all-American barbecue where it's just bringing the neighborhood together and just like having, like, fostering community and friendships and building relationships. But the big brand examples for this would be Coca-Cola. So Coke actually used to be an innocent archetype, but recently it's crossed over to be the regular guy because some of their recent campaigns are like hashtag share a Coke. And they're kind of saying it's for everyone. They put names, like people's names, on the bottles, mm-hmm. and on the cans. Just the idea of bringing people together, that it's for everybody. And then also Levi's is a very strong regular guy archetype example. So entrepreneur examples besides Miss Natalie here.
Besides me.
Yeah. Besides her would be Jenna Kutcher. So Jenna Kutcher's language and messaging is just all about saying she's a small town Minnesota girl, just like you, you know, just nothing special about her. She's just a small town girl. If I can do it, you can too, you know, just that type of language. Even her body positivity aspect of her brand is very regular guy, regular girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And the type, the Enneagram type that matches up with this perfectly, in my opinion, is the Enneagram 9, which I know you are.
That is so fascinating. I never connected that before. Yeah. I've already said this, but I'm like, oh my gosh, it totally is.
Yeah, crazy. The Enneagram 9 is like one of the traits of you guys is like you try to like please both sides, or like you try to make everyone happy. You don't want to cause any conflict. You just want to bring people together. And I feel like that is just that community building sense is deep in your core as an Enneagram 9.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. <Exactly. laughs> All right. The next type is the lover. So this taps into our desire to have intimacy with someone, to be loved, or to have our innermost desires fulfilled. So your goal as a lover brand is to foster deeper connections between people, to use attraction to help people get what they want. So keywords of this would be passion, desire, indulgence, intimacy, connection, seduction, attraction. Big brand examples are Victoria's Secret, very obvious, and Magnum ice cream. I just remember their commercials that I've seen recently of like a girl like running through the street towards a Magnum ice cream truck, and just, you know, then opening it up and eating it very indulgently, and like it's all about like indulgence and those inner desires being met
through ice cream.
Through ice cream, yeah, for Magnum ice cream. Yeah, so there's like Godiva chocolate also is one. So it's like, I don't know, kind of tapping into those deep desires, like, you know, Victoria's Secret obviously is one desire. And Godiva chocolate, Magnum ice cream, that's like the sweet indulgence.
Yeah.
I don't see like too many of these in the entrepreneurial space. Like, I'm sure that there's like a sex or love coach out there that would have this archetype apply to them. But my best example that I could think of is Amanda Francis. So she is a money mindset queen, but she is basically like all about, her messaging is all about getting what you desire. She uses manifestation to attract money and whatever she wants in life.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. And I also think of, I'm just trying to think of examples, like maybe like a fitness coach who is like talking a lot about like feeling like confident and like, yeah. I don't know. I've had a client where I don't think,
I don't remember
that was her archetype, but very like feeling like sexy and like, feeling confident in your body. Yeah, that's kind of
what. Absolutely. Yeah, there's the lover can be about like feeling beautiful and attractive too. So like there's a lot of makeup brands are very stereotypical of this type, you know, anything that makes you feel sexy, confident, attractive in that sense is definitely the lover. So here, this is again another type that I don't think has an Enneagram matchup perfectly per se. But I think if there was an Enneagram type to match, it would most likely come from the heart triad. So like probably like a 4, maybe a 2 or a 3, just because it's all about like those deep connections and feelings. Yeah. Okay. Next type is the entertainer. So this taps into our desire to laugh, to have fun, and to live in the moment. So your goal as an entertainer brand is to help people have a great time and lighten the mood, to show that everything doesn't have to be so serious, to enjoy life to the fullest. Keywords for this brand would be like comedic, entertaining, playful, fun, silly, whimsical, humorous. Big brand examples would be Skittles. So the Taste the Rainbow commercials, right? They are just so silly and whimsical, very funny. Entrepreneur examples, the absolute perfect example is RKA, Rachel K. Albers. I don't know if you follow her, but she creates these hilarious videos like IGTV and YouTube videos about branding and marketing, but she dresses herself up in all these different costumes and plays all these different characters with a green screen behind her and makes these just hilarious videos that are entertaining you so much, but also teaching you about branding and marketing. So that is the perfect entertainer archetype example.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know who that is. And then you said that. And I'm like, yes, I've seen you post. Yes. They're hilarious.
Yeah, she's even made like her own GIFs that have become super popular on like Instagram. And I think she posted that somebody used her GIF on like CNN article. So like,
Oh my gosh, she's made it.
She's made it. Yeah. So that's like an example of how to use the entertainer too, is like making fun videos or funny GIFs, like just being like making something serious seem lighthearted and funny, you know? And then for fun, one of my favorite comedians out there is Heather McMahon. She is this Atlanta girl. So, you know, close to my heart now, but she is absolutely hilarious to follow on Instagram. She's actually like making her way. Like I've watched her over the past couple of years go from, you know, just living in her mom's house in Atlanta to being on stages and being on tour with her comedy show. But she just, watching her Instagram stories is my daily entertainment. Like she just talks about life so candidly and makes everything funny. And you might already be thinking of this person in your life too, who's like really funny and entertaining and peppy. And that is the Enneagram 7.
Yes. Yes. Or if you watch Friends, like Chandler.
Yes. Yes. All right. Moving on. The next type, we've got three more to go. So the caregiver type. This archetype taps into our desire to care for and protect others. So your goal as a caregiver brand is to help people, to take care of others, to nurture them, to make them feel safe. And so the keywords, nurturing, caring, thoughtful, safe, kind, secure, comforting. So this is like very kind of stereotypical of mom bloggers, or, you know, anything that, any aspect of your brand that has to do with motherhood and taking care of others, anything that feels nurturing. So your big brand example would be Campbell's. Like, don't you just like feel warm and taken care of when you think of Campbell's? Like chicken noodle soup, like I can just cozy up with a blanket and just be so comfortable with Campbell's. Yes. And then another example is Tom's Shoes. They have the caregiving aspect to their brand because of their service and their like outreach by donating pairs of shoes. So that's a different way to do the caregiver archetype. That isn't a mommy blogger. Entrepreneur example would be Kate Northrup. She has a book called Do Less, A Revolutionary Approach to Time and Energy Management for Busy Moms. And so like, doesn't reading that title, Do Less, like kind of give you this sense of relief? Like, I can breathe. Like I feel taken care of. You're helping me out so much. Like that is what you feel when you experience a caregiver archetype. And I think another example is Joanna Gaines. From Magnolia. Like she is just all about like the lifestyle, bringing family together, being caring and nurturing for your children and your husband and the people in your life. This has a super obvious Enneagram matchup. The caregiver archetype is Shocker, the caregiver type two. And the next step, we have the creator. So this archetype taps into our desire to express ourselves or to create something that lasts, like kind of that like innate desire, like we want to leave a legacy or leave something behind, and just to express who we are. Mm-hmm. And so the goal of a creator brand is to help people express themselves more freely, to bring ideas to life, to give form to a vision. So keywords are creative, imaginative, curious, original, unique, colorful, eccentric. Those are all words used to describe this archetype. And this kind of the stereotypical entrepreneur you might find under this archetype is like your makers, right? The ones who create handmade jewelry or who paint or just sell things on Etsy that they make. Like that is a stereotypical entrepreneur example. A big brand example would be Legos. Mm-hmm. So you're building your own world. It gives you the ability to create, right? Same with Canon, the camera brand. They are giving you the ability to create. Entrepreneur examples. So I'm putting one of my favorite people on the planet, which is Laura Bell Gray of Talking Shrimp. Like, she's the copywriter that I look up to so much. She is so creative with her words. And like, if you go on her website, like the brand photography that she did to match with her copy is so creative. Like she says, like, she eats words for breakfast, and that's a picture of her like eating a bowl of cereal. And it's just so creative. Love her to death. And then also I think Kathy Heller of Don't Keep Your Day Job, I think her branding, like the graphic that she has for her podcast, is quintessential creator. Like Kathy Heller is a musician. She's a songwriter. So she's all about creativity and creating. And then she brings on lots of different creatives onto her podcast to talk about, you know, leaving the corporate world behind to focus on your creative passions. So those are great, great examples. The type, the Enneagram type that I think most matches with the creator archetype is an Enneagram 4. Mm-hmm. So Enneagram 4s are all about expression, expressing themselves, and are typically thought of as the creative, artsy type, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I think they match up the best. All right, last one. All right, this last archetype is the ruler. So the ruler archetype taps into our desire to lead, to take charge, to be in control. That you can guess which Enneagram type this one is. your goal as a ruler brand is to create wealth and success and to grow authority and influence. So you want to be the CEO, the leader in charge. You want to be seen almost as like kind of up on a pedestal, almost as like, you know, this is what you can do through leadership. Keywords being like responsible, dependable, ambitious, authoritative, refined, luxurious, elegant. So a big brand example would be like Hermes, Chanel, Louis Vuitton, Rolex. All of these luxury brands are ruler examples because they are at the top. And an entrepreneur example would be, I think, Kara Allwill of The Champagne Diet. So her blog and her books, just talking about like the champagne diet. It's the idea of, you know, feeling that you're worthy of these things, kind of getting what you want, attracting what you want, living life drinking champagne. And she has a, you know, a condo in Manhattan, and she has like fur coats, and she's just kind of like showing this life of luxury as something to aspire to, and like teaches you ways to feel that in your everyday life. Like, even if it's just like, you're going to drink a glass of champagne, or you're going to drink your sparkling water out of a champagne glass in order to just feel better, you know? Yeah, to feel fancy. Yeah. And then another one is Sabrina Phillip. So she is a young, like, she became a millionaire at 24 or 25 by creating her own social media brand. And then now she's a business coach, but she now, like, I think originally she was maybe a magician type, because she was very like spiritual, all about mindset and everything. But then as she made her millions, she's transformed into the Ruler brand, because now she's like, she's in designer clothes. She always has Chanel bags. She is showing us her life as she literally just kind of hops from hotel or expensive real estate rental to real estate rental, because she shows like her vacations in the Maldives. And like right now she's spending 6 weeks in the Highlands. So she's just showing like, this is the life that you can live by becoming an online entrepreneur. Like, if you work hard, you can achieve this. If you lead, be in control, take charge, you can have this life too. And so she's kind of like, all right, she's made it. She's at the top. This is something to aspire to.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then I bet you could guess the Enneagram 8 matches very well with the Ruler. They very much have that natural CEO, take charge, be in control spirit within them. And they are great examples of Ruler, of the Ruler archetype.
Yeah, oh my goodness.
So that's all of them.
Yes. All 12. Oh, I bet I know people are going to be taking notes, because I feel like even that, just like listening to what you just said, is such a good overview in terms of like listening for like the innate desires, like similar to like finding your Enneagram type and kind of looking at like, what's that core motivation? I also think it's interesting that even like, as you were talking about that last archetype, this just speaks to how, I don't know, how different we all are, because like, looking at like the luxury brands, and like, that's like polar opposite to me, the girl next door. And I'm like, oh, like that, like to me, that's like a turnoff, where I'm like, oh, but then there's some people that are like so drawn to that. And it, like, you know, I'm not her kind of person. And like,
a Ruler archetype is probably not going to attract the regular guy, regular girl archetype, because the regular girl wants everybody to be equal and on the same level and be a part of the community, versus the Ruler brand is showing like, you can be up here and have this wealth and authority and influence too, you know, but it does take some work to get to my level.
Yeah. Well, and vice versa. Like, it's just so important to be yourself, because it's like, your people are going to be drawn to that. And even if there's someone else doing what you're doing, like if they have their own approach, like it's going to draw in totally different people.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So how did you find out your archetype, and how can the ladies listening kind of hone in on like their primary and secondary types?
Yeah. So I have a quiz that is how to find your brand personality type. And that will be launching along with this podcast, actually, my brand new quiz to help you figure out which of these types is yours. But the, like, the best way, besides like taking a quiz to kind of hone in a selection, like there are other quizzes out there too that will help you find your brand archetype. But I think the best quizzes give you like a selection of three or four to kind of give you a sampling of like, we think you are most likely one of these. Go read about them and see which ones tap into those desires of yours that speak to you of like, oh yeah, this is who I naturally am. And exercise that is actually really good to help you figure out what your type is polling past clients, like sending them a, basically like a word bank, like a big word bank of all these different adjectives, and then having them choose five that describe you. And then out of those five, like, what do those five say? Like, which archetype do those speak to? Like, how do others see you? And so that is how I kind of honed in on the sage as mine, because originally I was thinking like, oh, maybe I'm the explorer, you know, like I want to travel, I want freedom from the 9 to 5, I want to see the world and be mobile and have the laptop life and whatever. But like, actually, the sage spoke so much deeper to me because like, I am the Enneagram 5. I have an unquenchable mm-hmm. thirst for knowledge. Like, I literally, the glasses that I have on and these open books, piles of books next to me is me. Like, I study and research in my free time. You know, I asked for a masterclass subscription for Christmas, you know, so.
Yeah.
It's like, I love learning and I love sharing my knowledge that I've accumulated. So that is really like the archetype that most aligns with who I want to be or who I am. Mm-hmm. The primary archetype is, I think, who, like what our message is and who our ideal client is. So mm-hmm. that is kind of like speaking to like, what do we want to tell our ideal client? I want to embolden introverts. You know, I want them to be bold. I want them to have their voice heard. And so, okay, along the lines of boldness. And then whenever I polled my past clients, and you can poll like family members and friends too, to see what words they come up with for you. But a word that kept coming up was like bold and cutting edge. So both of those are very characteristic of the rebel, because it is something new and revolutionary and just tapping in, like just saying what other people aren't willing to say, kind of like, I don't know, I'm just speaking to that introvert who feels wronged by society. And saying like, okay, screw what everybody has told you about who you are. This is who you are. Time to step up and be bold.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. that is the rebel archetype. So I, to find like your primary and secondary, I think it's a mix of who you are and what does your ideal client want?
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that does. And I find that fascinating. I hadn't looked at it before as like kind of how you broke it down in terms of like your secondary being like who you are at the core, and then your primary being like the message that yeah, you're like, sharing you and like your clients. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, do you want to be like motivating and encouraging and inspiring courageous action in the people? Like, okay, you are the hero at the core, or like you are the hero to your ideal client, but then at the core you might be the entertainer or somebody who's just mm-hmm. you know, funny, lives life in the moment, you know, laugh out loud, so you can bring humor while inspiring courageous action, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And now like my wheels are turning and I'm trying to figure out, I don't know what my other archetype is, and so now I'm totally gonna go do this exercise. I love that.
Yeah.
Like doing the word bank, because I thought like when I've taken a quiz, it was girl next door and caregiver. And so I mm-hmm. was like, well, I could see that, but now I'm trying to think in terms of like my message and my ideal clients. I mean, like I'm all about like helping people be like their real self,
mm-hmm.
like be authentic, as overused as that word is, like that's really yeah. what at the core, like what I want to,
yeah,
you know.
And you also have like a health and wellness background too, so like maybe that's kind of tapping into the innocent a little bit, But yeah, it's like, mm-hmm. what's the message? How are you inspiring or motivating your ideal client? Like what is that desire or emotion that they are drawn to that brings them in? And it will be a combination of who you are and what do they want. Mm-hmm. But yeah. So
much to think about.
Yeah. Yeah. So like thinking about how to apply these archetypes to like brand design or to what you wear. So like, you know, your go-to brand outfit, if you're an innocent archetype, might be like very boho and just kind of flowy, natural materials. It could be like clean materials, kind of fitting in with that type. But I think of it as like kind of having like that boho long maxi dress that's a white color or something, pastel and sandals, you know, versus like an explorer, a kind of cliche brand outfit would be having that rancher hat or the fedora and like the hiking boots, you know, that type of outfit. Mm-hmm. And for how these archetypes apply to brand design, I would say it's less about saying certain colors apply to certain types and more about following some design rules when it comes to color. So those rules being like the vibrance or brightness of a color and how strong the contrast between the colors are. So for example, if you have a caregiver brand, you don't want to have like really strong bright colors or a lot of contrast, because the point of your brand is to be soft and nurturing and inviting. So a color palette example would be like having soft pinks or light grays, creams, like just anything that's just soft and a little bit more muted, anything that makes you feel safe or that feels like a hug. Mm-hmm. But for the hero archetype, for example, you know, think of like fitness coaches and stuff. You want bold, bright colors and strong contrast, like black and red and white, or maybe like a deep cobalt blue with a neon orange. Like you want strong contrast and vibrant colors because you're inspiring courage and bravery and like a, yeah, I can do this spirit within your audience. So you want to be like loud and energizing with your colors. So if you're a hero archetype, you are not going to be using light pink and light gray. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to have strong, bold colors.
That's fascinating. Well, and yeah, I think your comment about the style in terms of, well, actually, let me back up. I love what you said about the colors in terms of like, it's not like you have to use these specific colors. It's more like the types of colors. And also your comment about like the style of clothes in terms of when you think about the different archetypes and like kind of mm-hmm. the style that comes to mind.
Yeah, it's like the regular guy. I think of like Levi jeans and a white tee and sneakers, you know, like,
yeah. Well, and like, you know, I was just making the comment that I'm like, huh, I wonder what my other archetype is. It probably is innocent because like, I mean, I'm super, like, I consider myself a very crunchy person. And I'm like, really, like anyone who knows me well knows I'm really picky about like the types of food I will feed my daughter or I will eat myself or like the
kind
we get. And like, so
yeah,
I find that fascinating. And I'm all about like the
self-discovery.
Yes. Yes. I love it. Oh my gosh. Okay. Do you have any, other than your wonderful quiz, which I'm excited to take myself, do you have any other favorite resources that you would recommend?
So I am going to, I have a webpage where I'm going to have all of this information that you can scroll through.
Perfect.
Yeah, so everything that I talked about today will be on that website that you can reference. It will be at ameliawarner.com/brandtypes. But if you want to be a super geek and nerd out, the actual book that is like your textbook on brand archetypes is called The Hero and the Outlaw, Building Extraordinary Brands Through the Power of Archetypes by Margaret Mark and Carol S. Pearson. And that mm-hmm. is where they break down these Jungian archetypes from Carl Jung and apply them to business and brands.
Mm-hmm. And you guys, it is like a legit, like heavy, knock yeah. someone out textbook.
<It's>
like
<thick.
laughs> I had yeah. it checked out and I did not get to actually like dive deep into it because I kind of forgot I had it. but yeah, it's definitely something I need to check out again. Okay, so if people love you and want to learn more about you and follow you, where can they find you?
They can find me at Instagram at Amelia Warner. That's Amelia spelled A-M-E-L-I-A, Warner spelled W-A-R-R-E-N-E-R. And you can also find me at my website, ameliawarner.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. You gave us all so much to think about, and I'm just still mind blown. So thank you for sharing your wisdom with us.
You're welcome. I know I just dumped so much knowledge on you, but yeah, these archetypes are just so amazing because it is this psychological cheat sheet to understanding yeah. your brand and the needs and desires of your ideal client and take advantage of it. So go take my quiz, go look at the website with all the references. And yeah, I'm excited for you to jump in with archetypes.
Yes. Well, thank you so much.